The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Hey, welcome. Privilege to be here with you. And I hope that this is an encouragement to your heart. This weekly gathering where we come together to collectively continue growing in our personal relationship with Christ. My name is Shane McKenzie. I'm one of the many guys that are part of the teaching team. It truly is a privilege to be able to be with you and to serve in this way. As I look out across this room, one of the things that I see clearly is that there are people who get it, who understand what really is happening here at Summit Spartanburg. People who know that this mission of every man, woman, and child having repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel is really what defines us. If you're new today, if this is your first time here, welcome to our faith community. We know that you've had a lot of different options to be able to choose and that you would choose Summit Spartanburg. We're grateful. And one of the things that we do as a leadership here is periodically we go over who we are and what we are all about. And that statement, every man, woman, and child having repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, really is a defining statement for us. We're in the midst of a series called Vision 2030, where for the last several weeks, we've been talking not only about why it is we do what we do here at Summit, but getting really intentional about talking through the how we do what we do at Summit. And so over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be spending time finishing out that series and looking at the distinctive ways, the unique ways that Summit Upstate lives out the nature and the purpose of the church. So I'm glad that you're here today. This morning, I want you to think, just to frame up our conversation around distinctives. Distinctives, you know, just how do you put your mind around that term distinctives? What are we really saying when we say Summit Church has some distinctives? Here's a way to think about it. Our distinctives are the avenues through which our church family strategically lives out the biblical calling of the nature and the purpose of the church. That's what we're talking about. So if we ask why the church, which we believe is every man, woman, and child having repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel, why does it exist and what is its purpose? We believe that biblically you land where we've landed with that statement. And the natural follow-up question to why the church is specifically how. So how do you go about that? For us, we've landed on these strategic distinctives that you'll see behind me. Now, this is not an exhaustive list of distinctives, but we see that these things continuously rise from Scripture. It's not a list that makes us better than other local churches or any church in our area or around the world for that matter, but it is a list that's a bit unique to Summit Upstate. It's a seriously intentional list. You see, we know in leadership our why and our how. And if you're a team member here, you've seen this list of distinctives before. You've heard this vocabulary. If you're a regular here at Summit Spartanburg, you've got a familiarity with this vocabulary. Maybe if you've just been here once or twice, you've heard us speak in this language. But we're continuously adding new people to this family. And so we think it's very important that we continue this conversation where you and I together learn more clearly how it is we do what we do as a church family. Summit is not great. Jesus Christ is great. And it's his graciousness, his kindness to us as a family through his son that's calling us not to just be inside but outside in our thinking. And that's what I hope we can talk about today. So if we're going to go, if God is intentionally, strategically placing us in this place called Spartanburg and sending us to every man, woman, and child, if we're going to go, let's know not just why, but also how. If we're going to join ourselves to a local body of believers, then let's know what it is that these people are committed to and what they are giving themselves to. If we're about sharing and showing the gospel where we do life, then these distinctives behind me are key. The first is target-driven. And target-driven, we believe, is imperative for us to know our place, to know the lostness of our place, to have a true understanding of what it means to have a brokenheartedness in light of that lostness in our place. That happens as we pray for our place and see our place as a mission field, every piece of it. I remember almost 5 years ago now, the very first time that I heard this term target-driven and it being defined in which the way we're talking about it today. It opened my eyes in a new, fresh way to the gospel and the intentionality of which the Lord is working in and through his people in their place. Like, I went to Publix the week after my first service at Spartanburg campus. And I remember seeing the cashier differently. I remember going to the gas station and seeing the clerk differently. In the past, prior to my encounter with Summit and this type of intentionality around the gospel, I never considered the lostness of my place. I never considered the fact that the gospel was in me, and everywhere that I go, God is strategically, intentionally taking the gospel forward, even to the cashier at Publix, to the attendant at a gas station, and he's wanting to use me. Never thought of it that way before. I had gotten trapped into this context that I would just gather inside a place and that the gospel was to go somewhere out there, but I didn't make the connection of target-driven intentionality that God was speaking through his word. Target-driven is a distinctive of Summit Church. Also, spiritual formation. You know, each of us is growing as a disciple in our target-driven area, because this isn't just about you and I going and sharing Jesus with others, talking about him, but it's also about our lives growing and changing, being truly transformed, which does put the beauty of Jesus on display in our place. This is who I am now in Christ. This is how he's changing me. That is spiritual formation. I'm not who I was, but what does that change look like? Well, we have a set of values here at Summit, and some of you have heard us teach on these values before. If you haven't, you will again. But these values define spiritual formation for us. When we talk about passionate pursuit of Jesus, there's a reason it is our number one value. It's because out of that value flows everything else when we talk about spiritual formation. It's from the truth of Scripture that we gather. Man, my vocabulary is really good, huh? Gather. So we gather together in these truly biblical communities to help shape and form our true understanding of our identity in Christ. And from that, we discover our spiritual giftedness to be able to engage it in a way that serves the body. And out of that, being able to steward our lives well, every area of our life, our marriages, our relationships with our children, our interactions with coworkers, our discussions with people that we encounter in each and every place that's part of our circle of accountability, all leading to us continuously inviting others into the story of grace that God is writing in our life so that they might too see and experience the true love of God. Spiritual formation. Last week we talked about interdependent leadership. And when we think in terms of interdependent leadership, in order for us to see that kind of people that we talk about in spiritual formation, we have to continuously be stepping into equipping and empowering our people. There has to be a leadership team, an elder team, deacons, life group leaders, pastoral staff, walking with people, discipling people towards being the people who also disciple people. Last week, Kyle taught from Acts 13, and we looked at a type of leadership in the church at Antioch that we desire to be here. A leadership growing in diversity that is reflective of our place, our target-driven areas. A leadership that values intimacy with God and dependency on the Holy Spirit above all else. A leadership that is humble and committed to investing in equipping people and releasing those people into avenues that God has ordained for you to influence with the gospel. And because we want to equip you, because your spiritual formation matters, and because we are called to be a transforming people where we live and do life to put the gospel on display, we value equipping avenues and having leaders to walk with you. From elders to pastors to life group leaders, the deacons that we just recently installed, we want to equip you to walk with you through all of life. And it's one thing to acknowledge that you and I, we need to be equipped. But it's a totally different thing to actually take advantage of the opportunities that come our way. And so my question to you is this: are you fully engaging in the opportunities to be able to be equipped? Now, only you and I can answer that question for ourselves. Are we stepping into those equipping opportunities so that as we are strategically placed in our circles of accountability, we are continuously being transformed into the likeness of Jesus so that we are able to put the gospel on display for every man, woman, and child so that they have repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to him without coming or going anywhere? So the brilliant design of the Big C Church, as we talk about that today, is that it reproduces. If we are a church that is living out God's mission of redemption through being target-driven, spiritually growing, through a leadership team committed to equipping others, we are going to be a church family that reproduces and partners with churches to live on mission. The Big C Church is a church that reproduces. At Summit, our desire from the very beginning, 10 years ago, and still today as we look 12 years ahead, is not simply to plant a church, but to plant a church that would plant churches. To be a church family that is equipped and grows people, and as a result, reproduces itself locally, nationally, globally. But in order to reproduce, we have to live from an inside-out mindset. And that has its challenges in a culture of evangelical Christianity that is thinking outside in regards to the church. You see, there are these inside-out churches versus outside-in churches is what I want to spend a few minutes with you this morning on. And an outside-in church, these are the churches that primarily focus on gathering people into a space. And the main emphasis of the church is the gathered times. And if that is how you measure your success and effectiveness, the gathered times, then you can't partner with other churches effectively because your value is found in how many gather at your church. And you can't truly release your resources and your people to bless others because you need all of them to gather in your place. Again, if you have core biblical convictions about the church, then there also has to be a practical methodology, some philosophical strategies, if you will, that build off of that. And for us, our desire is to be a reproducing church, a partnering church, because the mission drives everything. And our distinctives give us the avenues to evaluate our why and our how. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about our fourth distinctive, church partnership and church planting. And I mentioned a few minutes ago, but last week we talked about the church leadership at the church in Antioch. And today I want us to look back a few chapters and see how Saul and Barnabas actually ended up there to begin with. And in doing so, I believe we will learn together even more about being a church committed to planting and partnering by thinking and strategically acting from an inside-out mindset as opposed to the outside-in mindset. Because that really is what you see here in Acts. The Spirit of God acting through people to advance the gospel. And those people living inside out. If you will, turn with me to Acts 11. Acts chapter 11. This morning we're going to look at verses 19 through 30. Acts 11, 19 through 30. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So for context's sake here, Peter, who was one of the disciples that walked with Jesus, was being criticized by Jewish church leaders in Jerusalem for his ministry to the Gentiles. And so Peter, earlier in Acts 11, has told the leadership that the Spirit of God is up to something. And it wasn't exclusively to the Jews. The gospel, Jesus, the life-changing message and hope of the gospel. Peter is saying it's for anyone and everyone who will receive it. So what about this place called Antioch? Well, Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire, and a beautifully situated city, carefully designed, that was a commercial center. And it was a home to a very large Jewish population, and at the same time, this place was incredibly evil. I mean, incredibly evil, incredibly sinful. Immorality, ritual prostitution that was a part of temple worship. So here's what I love about this. Christ followers in that environment say, the church in that environment says, we are going to share the gospel and show the hope of the gospel in this place, in that city. A sign of an inside-out church. We value reaching people, not exclusively gathering people at Summit. And there's nothing wrong with gathering. We do that on Sunday. There's nothing wrong with gathering, but when the focus is only on gathering, or mostly only on gathering and the gathered times, we miss the opportunities that are often right in front of us. The opportunities where we can actually be the church. Look with me in verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Did you see it? They were persecuted and scattered, and they did what? Quit talking about Jesus? No. Ran and hide? No. They talked about Jesus. Amazing, right? Targeted intentionality. Driven. Understanding and living out the purpose of the church. Boy, talk about being intentional in your place, in your circle of accountability. Well, look what happens next in verse 22. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a man of God, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So the church in Jerusalem isn't sure what to think, you know, so they send Barnabas. And so who is Barnabas? This guy is known really as a wise man, a person who is a fellow that, that he knows how to begin this process. And it's not a short trip for Barnabas. He's 300 miles away. But even so, we see this as another piece of the church thinking inside out. They partner with other churches. They don't compete. And Barnabas is so glad, and he's so encouraging to them. And then he went to look for Saul and to bring him back to Antioch to help equip them, to invest in them. Because spiritually transformed people in the midst of target-driven areas put the gospel on display. And an inside-out church not only partners with other churches, but also prioritizes building up people, not simply building an organization. So here you see again, leadership committed to equipping in Acts chapter 11. Don't you see that from what we had last week, why it would have been so hard for the church at Antioch to release them? They meant so much to them. They had been there for a long time. They showed up to love on them, to equip them, to encourage them. And the Bible says in verse 26, they had been there for a year. Well, one other thing that I want you to see in this particular passage of Scripture that helps us define an inside-out church is in verses 27 through 30. Now, in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his abilities, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. This to me is a people, a definition of a people committed to releasing their assets, not simply protecting them. That's the mark of an inside-out church. We see later that this community of Christ followers releases Barnabas and Saul so that they could go and be missionaries. But even here you see it. They gave and lived with their hands open. An inside-out church. Everything God has placed in my and your hands is for us to be a steward in such a way that the gospel is put on display. That's living inside out. And so much in these verses that challenges and encourages you and I, along with the other leaders who are a part of Summit Upstate, to really think well about intentionally equipping, intentionally partnering, and believing that we have been and will continue to be over the next 12 years as we look at Vision 2030, an inside-out church. You see, an inside-out church is only possible with inside-out people. That's the message of Acts 11. An inside-out church is only made possible when it is made up of an inside-out people. Did you notice who was talking about Jesus in Antioch when they landed in that city running from the persecution? Look at verse 20. It tells us. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Who? Exactly. Just everyday people like you and me. People who were target-driven. People who were investing in spiritual formation. People who were intentional about taking advantage of the opportunities to be able to be nurtured and equipped, to be able to go live out their giftedness in light of the mission. People who were truly living inside-out faith. Being on mission in their city, in their circle of accountability. And my prayer is that we would continue as a people, individually, each one of us, to live an inside-out life. And if you and I intentionally live inside-out lives, we will naturally be an inside-out church family. It's a byproduct. The question for you and me is, am I target-driven? Am I investing in spiritual formation? Am I taking the opportunities to be able to step into equipping that's offered? And will I choose to be consistently moving forward in this mentality of an inside-out life that puts the gospel on display so that every man, woman, and child in Spartanburg will have repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel? I'm convinced everything that the Lord is doing in Spartanburg, he is doing through his people, and that means you. I'm hoping that through this series, you're seeing the opportunity for you to take ownership. Ownership of the mission. Ownership of the distinctives. To be able to move strategically into the places that the Lord places you to make much of Him. I want to give you a chance to hear from Jason Malone, another of our teaching elders, as he talks more specifically about how will we live out church planning and church partnering in the next few years in light of our 2030 plan. So guys, I'm going to let you go ahead and start the video, and Jason will share.
At Summit Church, one of our key distinctives is church planting and church partnership. We do believe that the Lord is doing a great work across the upstate of South Carolina through the local church. Summit's a part of that, but obviously we're not the only one. And from the very beginning, we determined that we wanted to be a church that planted churches, not just a church that planted churches, but also a church that with open hands would partner with other churches that God in His kindness had brought alongside us in the circles of accountability with which we minister and do life. And so as we look at the next 12 years and think and pray about how the Lord would have us keep moving in regards to church planting and church partnership, a couple of things rise to the surface for us. One, we firmly believe that the Lord would like for us to have one Summit congregation in every county of the upstate of South Carolina. There are 10 counties. We are currently in 3 of those with congregations. And so we're praying about how over the next 12 years, we actually could get into those other 7 counties with Summit congregations. To that end, another strategic thing that we would like to see accomplished is what we would simply call a church planting residency. We believe that in order to get into these other parts of the upstate, we need to have a leadership pipeline in which we can raise up and train and equip church planters to be able to go and begin new works. And so over the next 12 years, those are just a couple practical and tangible things. We want to plant in every county. We need a residency, a church planting residency that would allow us to raise up leaders to plant with. Over the next 2 years, we believe a few things need to take place in order for us to continue to plant churches across the upstate of South Carolina. One is we want to continue to develop strategic partnerships with other churches. We want to partner with other churches that the Lord has, in His kindness, placed around us, that we together could continue to put the gospel on display. And so over the next couple of years, we need to continue to do good work and intentional work to meet other pastors, especially in the 7 counties where we currently aren't with Summit Church congregations. And so that'll be a part of our plan, that we go into these other counties and continue to meet pastors that are loving people well and putting the gospel on display. We aren't going into other parts of the upstate because we don't believe the Lord's doing something. We know the Lord is. We want to join Him in that. And partnership is a way in which we can join Him in that. And then in regards to the church planting residency, in the next 2 years, it really needs to be developed. We don't have that set up already. There's lots of research to do and a lot of things to put in place because we take seriously this opportunity to train and equip those that the Lord would bring to us to be able to plant. And so we need to do a lot of work on the front end over the next 24 months to be able to have a good residency in place. And so that's one of the things that we will be doing. Another strategic thing that we need to do over the next 2 years is raise some money financially to be able to bring in these planters and then send them out to plant. Obviously, that takes some finances. And so one of the goals that we have is that over the next really 18 to 24 months, would God be so kind through the generosity of folks like you and others who aren't even a part of Summit Church, we would love to see $100,000 come in, which would allow us to offset some of the cost of bringing new folks onto the team to plant them, and also just what it takes to start new church work. And so those are three strategic things that we're thinking about over the next 2 years. Continue to develop partnership, continue to meet pastors in different parts of the upstate to hear about what the Lord is already doing and joining them in that. To really develop the residency, to work hard to have something great in place when folks step into this process with us. And then to be able to fund the residency, $100,000, even more. I'm praying the Lord would do even more to help with the cost as we continue to think strategically about saturating the upstate of South Carolina with the gospel through local churches.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.